Hey, we're going to talk today about God's ultimate protection, and really how, if we can get this, then it will truly change the way that we live. Listen to this. God's ultimate protection for us enables us to overcome the fear of death. Okay, hold that thought. Last week, Vice President Mike Pence announced that that there would be the establishment of the United States Space Force, right? There should be Star Wars music playing at this time, don't you think? Right? He was telling the audience, I don't know if you have heard the announcement at the Pentagon, that the U.S. must meet the emerging threats on the new battlefield. And so by the year's end, the White House will create the U.S. Space Command, led by a four-star general, and it will become the sixth branch of the U.S. military. Right? There's really been a lot of effort in Congress for several years to establish that, by the way. It wasn't just like a presidential initiative. Congress and military leaders have been really warning that space is the domain where future wars will be fought. Interesting, huh? Well, we know, like, the Pentagon's satellites are already used for missile defense warnings, right? For guiding precision missiles, providing communications and reconnaissance. We also know that Russia and China have made significant advances in militarizing space. So Vice President Pence, he cited these other countries in developing hypersonic missiles, which can travel up to 5 miles per second. That kind of blows your mind, 5 miles per second. And so he says, America will always seek peace in space as on earth. But he said, history proves that peace only comes through strength. And he concluded by saying, in the realm of outer space, the United States Space Force will be that strength. Very interesting, huh? Boy, how things change. You know, just think about, you know, people that are still living. There's a few that that lived through World War II, that fought in World War II, you know, and you think about the changes. Even, I was just thinking about the changes over this millennium, like from 2000 to 2018, you know, how much has changed in that that amount of time. We really see that though times change, and in some ways, society and technology progresses, the one thing that you'd have to take a look at to really step back and get a good picture of what's going on is that innovations have brought about some good things. You know, not all change is negative. Technology and innovations have brought about good things. But the one thing that technology or innovation has not been able to change is human nature. Human nature. Do you know we as a people are still as afraid of death and disease and disaster as was our ancient ancestors? Right? Yeah. We indeed, all of us, have understood what it means to fear death, right? It was about maybe a year ago that I was just in my house one day, and I had this incredible pain right here, you know. And honestly, it felt like I was having a heart attack. Now, thank God it wasn't. It was a very bad case of acid reflux. And anybody ever have that, you can say, yeah, it kind of feels like a heart attack. It can a ton. Do you realize what goes through your mind in times like that? And I'm here to confess to you that it scared me. You know, when you think that this could be it, you know, it does indeed scare you. And the things that come to your mind at first, right, are, I don't want to leave right now. Right? Isn't that true? And you know, we have so much to want to live for, and that's not a bad thing. But this morning, I want to tell you that until we understand what Jesus did for us to enable us to begin more and more to overcome this inherent fear of death, we will never truly live. We will never truly live the life that God wants us to live and accomplish the purposes. You know, the Space Force, it's not like the force be with you, may defend us in the sky, but we need help from heaven. Huh? It was King David, you know, back in his day when, you know, you looked at the military, and the military was measured by the size of the army, as well as, you know, back in those days, chariots, right? Especially iron chariots. They were considered to be, you know, the weapon that would win the war. And David, inspired by the Spirit of God, one time wrote in the Psalms, he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's an inspiration. Because I don't care how big the military gets or how powerful our own military gets, we can never underestimate our need for God's intervention, amen? For His hand of protection. Our ultimate protection is in heaven. And in more ways than one. That's what I want to look at with you today. You know, when people are in trouble, that's usually when they look up. That's usually when they cry out. It's when things are going really well that sometimes a lethargy can settle over people and they can forget their need for God, right? But when trouble comes, people cry out. Often they cry out for an intercessor, right? Someone to help them. Someone to help them, even if they don't know God. Someone help me. Even people that maybe have a vague belief in God but don't know Jesus Christ would cry out, God, I don't know who you are or where you are, but I need you, right? Yeah. You know, when God sent Jesus to this earth, He sent Him as our ultimate mediator, our ultimate intercession, if you will, the ultimate source of our help. That's who Jesus is. To come to know Him is to come to know the source of peace, right? Yeah. People have often looked for intercessors, though. Even, you know, in the world, there's always been a fascination with angels. Always been. It's not just recent. I mean, certainly New Age religion has brought that back in spades, but there's always been a fascination with angels. And while angels are indeed God's creation, and the Scripture says that they indeed are ministers to those who will inherit salvation, that's us, right? Did you know that ultimately God did not design an angel to be our mediator? And the reason being is there is no angel that has ever been a human being, despite what movies may create or depict. No angel has ever experienced what we do the way we do, but Jesus has. Yeah. Which is what our scripture this morning is all about. So turn with me in your Bible. We'll bring it up on the big screen as well to Hebrews chapter 2. We're just going to read a few verses today, and this will be our text, Hebrews chapter 2. We'll be looking at a couple of different verses from 5 through 18, not the whole thing, but we'll start with verse 5 this morning. You know, when we look at this passage, we'll see that God inspired this writing to help us to understand the power of the Lord's ministry. But every time that this passage of Scripture will talk about the things that Jesus did when he became a man and why he became man, it will always end with the message of his death. God, you'll see, has planted the cross in this passage four different times in just these few verses to show us that the value, whatever value there may be in the life of our Lord Jesus for us, it is available to us by means of his death. He came to live in order that he might die. He poured forth his life in order that we might have life and have it to the full. But you will never have life to the full until you overcome more and more of your fear of death. Let's read it. Verse 5. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at the present, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels when he became man, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Now, I know that passage needs a little bit of explanation to really just bring forth the power that is there, and that's what we're going to do. You see, this section starts out with talking about the God-planned destiny for human beings, right? The God-planned destiny, the ultimate purpose for human beings. And this scripture is here to show us that Jesus became man in order for us to be able to recapture our lost destiny. No angel could ever take Christ's place, for God had never given the right to govern his creation to angels, but to men, to human beings, right? To his crowning achievement, made in his image and his likeness, human beings. So the writer of Hebrews says, you know, he's quoting, by the way, from the 8th Psalm, Psalm 8, where David would write, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" I just picture, you know, David's out on a starry summer night, right? Looking up at the sky and looking up at the majesty of heavens. Do you ever do that? Isn't that an awesome thing? Yeah, you just did that, didn't you? You know, just an awesome thing just to look up and you see the majesty of the heavens, right? But for David, and maybe for you, it reminded him of his feeling of insignificance in this big universe, this big scheme. So he's asking, you know, what is man's place in this big universe, God, that you created? That you obviously are so mindful of him, that you care for him so much. And what we find is by the Spirit of God, David gets the answers to his questions. He says, "You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet." Now, what he's referring to? Now, ultimately, this passage of Scripture has to do with how Jesus accomplished this. But remember this. Don't miss this. What God is speaking about through this inspired passage is the God-planned destiny for human beings. Not just for Jesus, but for human beings. He created us, and you know the Scriptures. He put us on this earth, and he said, "Have dominion," right? Have dominion. You got to understand just what God was up to whenever he created the universe and he placed us in it to say these words to us. For when we understand, we realize that God's plan for us is incredibly big and wonderful, and that it will be fulfilled one day. Huh. You were made to rule over all God's creation as his chosen representative in all of creation. All of creation. You know, the earth is clearly the training ground. Come on. Oh, man, you could have had an amen there. You just missed it. The earth is clearly the training ground. It really is, right? For us. And I won't get into it today. We've talked about it before. But when we start to grab a hold of this vision, we start to grab a hold of the big picture of God, the purposes of God, it starts to put even our suffering into perspective. Hold on to that thought. So God gave man, human beings, this authority, right, to begin with, right? But that authority was what is called derived authority. Derived authority. It was derived from the one who has all authority, that is God, right? Human beings were to be subject to the God who dwelt within them. Yes? We were to be the means by which the invisible God became visible to all of his creation. Ooh, that's good. That is so good. We were intended to be the manifestation of God's own life, which dwelt in the royal residence, right, of our human spirit. Wow. And as long as we, right, human beings, would be subject to the dominion of God, right, then we would be able to exercise that derived dominion over all of his creation. So Hebrews 2, it points out that when God made us, he made us a little lower than the angels. Listen to this. For now. For now. In order for us to understand and learn how to exercise this dominion. So for now, we were given a limited dominion. The earth, this tiny planet, whirling through this great galaxy that we belong to, among the billions of galaxies of space. And we were given a limited, somebody say limited, physical body, that within this limited realm, we should learn the principles by which dominion could be exercised throughout all creation forever. So the illustration is described as you've made us a little lower than the angels. But, I love the buts in Scripture, don't you? But, yeah, but. You know, people, human beings, we have in our heart, right? The Scripture in Ecclesiastes says this, that God has put eternity into the hearts of men. Can you think about that for a minute with me? Maybe different than you have before when you've read that Scripture in Ecclesiastes. That God has put eternity into the hearts of men. That this plan, this purpose, this divine scheme that God is up to, he put it in there. It's in there. It's like Prego spaghetti sauce. It's in there, you know? Now, honestly, this is what we find whenever we get out into nature. My son isn't here this morning. The little rascal and his family are down at New River Gorge. And he sent me this picture, you know. It's one of those wish you were here pictures. Yeah, right. It's a beautiful picture. You ever been to New River Gorge? Yeah. It's a beautiful picture of him standing on that precipice, right, looking down through that valley with the mountains on both sides. And even the picture, you know, which wouldn't be like being there, is awe-inspiring, right? This thing that God has put in the hearts of His people, right, is what causes us to want to go to that view. It's what causes us to feel what we feel when we get there, right? I was thinking about that old crazy song as a kid. You know, why did the bear go over the mountain? To see what he could see. Some of you aren't old enough to even remember that song, but I do, and you see the thing is, right? You know, the song is even just about, you know, why? Why do we want to explore the depths of the sea? Why do we want to go into outer space? Why? Because it's in the heart of people that we are placed here in all of creation with this purpose to have that ultimately have that dominion, right? It's our God-given destiny. And we do have remarkable heart-placed recollections at times of this inside our spirit. See, the trouble, though, is when human beings apart from God try to exercise dominion, we really mess things up. Really mess things up. You see, when we see people striving for power and wealth for their own glory, not for God's glory, that's what messes things up, right? That's when we see greed and lust and war and all sorts of evil result. But Jesus came to return us to the vision and be able to see that through Him it's possible. More than possible, it's the reality for Christians. It's our destiny. It's inevitable, right? He has accomplished it. It is finished. The vision that we have to see is this vision of eternity and our place in it. That I tell you what, when you start to get it, it'll get you through anything. It'll get you through anything. Because all of a sudden, your perspective changes. You have an eternal perspective. You start looking at things with different eyes. And as a result of it, you can't help but live differently. This is what God wants for us. This passage will tell us, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, about the freedom that it brings. Freedom to live. Not like that old country song, live like you're dying, even though the thought is behind it is a good one. But God wants you to live knowing that you are made for eternity and you will live for eternity with Him. In this place. Look at this other passage of Scripture. I think we have time. Romans chapter 8. Won't be long after this. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I know you're trying to squeeze all the summer in you can before it ends, and you probably had a busy day yesterday, but hang in there with me just for a couple more minutes, right? All right? So like Steve was telling me beforehand, you know, if you see my head, hit my chest, and you'll notice, shout a little louder. So if I raise my voice, it's for Steve. He's falling asleep back in the back. Romans chapter 8, I'm just teasing. Romans chapter 8, let's look at this. Can we look at these verses? Let's look at verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18 through 25. Here we go. If you have it in your Bible, this is a good place to start underlining. Woo, good stuff. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. How many have ever just paused there and said, what are you talking about, Lord? Have not been in my shoes? Have you not seen my present sufferings? How can you say it's not worth being compared to what? It's because you haven't seen the vision of the glory that will be revealed. Come on. Pass out the coffee now, Sean. Go ahead. Do you have it brewed fast? Okay. The creation waits, it says, in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. You get that? It's messed up right now, right? Creation, all creation knows it. Yeah. It says the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, right? but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. In hope of what? That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. Remember Hebrews 2? And brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. It says we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only all creation, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit who is there helping us understand this, urging us on, speaking these words to us, revealing them to us, we then start to groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption, our full adoption as sons, which is the redemption of our bodies. Now, come on, just be honest with me this morning. Don't you realize that the fear of death is rooted in this physical, limited human body, right? When I had the pain in my chest, it was bodily pain, right? That I worried about would lead to bodily death. The limitation that we have right now is connected directly to these bodies of ours, right? And so Paul is saying, can you imagine the day when you will be wrapped into a body that will never get old, never get sick, never have that kind of limitation again? Can you imagine, he's saying? He says, I want you to imagine it. And he said, that's what's going to cause you to really want that day to come, but to know that it will, right? He says, this is our hope. For this hope we were saved, verse 24. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But we hope for what we do not have, and we wait for it patiently. Well, I don't know about that. That's what we're supposed to do if the vision is strong enough, right? But waiting for it patiently? I don't know. A lot of you know that I'm a hospice chaplain, and, you know, so I have the opportunity, it's a wonderful opportunity, during the week typically, to be able to go into the homes of people that really are feeling the pains of human frailty. And it's fun because I talk to people about how they felt about growing old. And I hear wonderful phrases like, well, Pastor, I can tell you this, growing old is not for sissies. Right? I heard one lady, can you believe there's a lady that said this to me? Now, I'm going to say something that may be a little risque, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I know you and you know me. You know, she says to me, she says, this is supposed to be our golden years? She says, I'll tell you about the only thing that's golden is my pee. Okay, well, I got the point, though, right? I got the point. But I have seen people grow old gracefully. I have indeed, and I could also tell wonderful positive stories about precious saints of God who lived into their 90s and just began to slowly slow down, and you know, and like one I'm thinking about out in the New Buena Vista area, I used to love to go, and she loved to sing. She was an old Sunday school teacher in an Assembly of God church, and she knew all those good old songs, you know. And she would just smile, and she couldn't get out of bed, but she would just smile, and I came, and let's sing, she would say, and we'd just praise Jesus. And you know what happened to her? One day we just praised Jesus, right, and that praise just lifted her right into heaven. And it was the most beautiful thing, honestly. She knew where she was going. And I want to tell you, I can look you in the eye and tell you the truth. She had no fear of death. She had no fear of death. The Lamb has overcome. You know, in that last book in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, when John, you know, beholds the one who's seated upon the throne of the universe with 10,000 times 10,000s of angels that are crying out in just that unending, undying praise before the throne. And the call then goes out. Remember? Who is able to open that little book? Yeah. With the seven seals, and that book is the title deed to earth. Who has the right to govern? That's really what was going on. Who has the right to say what's going to happen? And a search is made through the length and breadth of human history for someone wise enough, strong enough, compassionate enough to open the seals, but no one can be found. And John says, I wept that no one was found worthy to open the scroll. But the angel says, don't weep. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. He has conquered and he can open the seals. And when John turned to see the lion, he was amazed that what he saw was a lamb stained with blood, right? As if he had been slain. And he watched the lamb step up to the throne and take the little book. And all heaven broke into an acclaim that one was finally found that could open the seals and bring forth the plan of God to this earth. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus has overcome. And because he has, so can you. What's the barrier? The barrier is the fear of death. I mean, think about it honestly. The barrier is the fear of death for us living the way God intended us to. Come on, just think with me deeply this morning as we get ready to close. Jesus took on flesh, right? Became as us to experience everything that we go through, to relate to us. And to overcome. He tasted death for every man, that scripture says, right? And he was able to then take our place because he was the perfect man. He was the one that was sinless. And he made it possible through his death for all those who would believe upon him to actually also have for them removed the thing that causes death's sting. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? The scripture says. You know where it's at? In not knowing what comes next. We fear the unknown. Where is the sting of death? Thinking that it's the finality? I mean, that's what happens when we gather at a funeral. You know, the sting of death is thinking, this is the end. And when Jesus came out of the grave on Sunday morning, he proved this is the beginning of a new life forevermore. That no longer do we have to look at this bodily ceasing being finality, being the end. It is not the end. It is the beginning of a new life forevermore. Can you imagine with me? Really honestly think about how different you might be able to live if you had zero fear of death. Zero. Let's just dream. Zero. I know, you know, it's a progressional thing, right? But zero. Think about that. Because you had this so in your heart, the reality of eternal life, the certainty of how great it would be, right? Hey, I like you, I'm surely not there yet. I'm preaching to myself, which is usually what I do, right? We're learning this together. We're trying to grasp this by the Spirit of God, to put in our spirits, to help us. I'm not there, but I know God wants me to get there, and I know he wants you to get there because of the freedom that scripture says it brings, freedom to live, not in fear. You realize how debilitating fear is. It's not of God. We know that from the scriptures. Tyler said this morning in prayer, perfect love drives out all fear. We have perfect love demonstrated right there on that cross that has the power to drive out all fear, including the fear among all fears, highest fear that there is. No, it's not spiders. The fear of death. The fear of death. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in zero fear of death? Now, no matter how young or how old you are, right? God wants you to be able to grasp this, to see your destiny, to know Jesus sealed it for you, to know that when you accepted Him, you have been given that eternity. And it is assured. 1 John says, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life. Not wonder. We sing the song Amazing Grace, but you see, it's that grace that causes all wonder to go. If it was just up to us, we'd wonder, but it's by God's grace, not by our works. So it's done, Vonnie. It's done. It's a certainty for us. We have eternal life. So somebody come up with a new title to a song. Not Live Like You're Dying, but what? Huh? Live Like You'll Never Die, maybe. Right? Live with the perspective of eternity. You know what it means? I'll tell you what it means. You don't need to greedily grab for everything right now. You don't need to strive, right, to get all you're going to get, right, in this one short lifetime. You don't. You can live, right, free, knowing that God values this life tremendously, and it is our training ground, like we said. And it can be wonderful. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full more abundantly. But we know it's not the abundance of what we accumulate. We know that. Right? You know, living this way, knowing that you will live and be rewarded for your life in heaven for all eternity. You live today knowing that you're training for reigning for all eternity. We live in a way that causes our mind's eye, you know, that spirit within us, to be able to step back and see a perspective and then be able to say, I know where I'm going. I know what it's going to be like, at least a glimpse. Right? I know I'm made for eternity and it's sealed when I accepted Christ. And I can live in freedom now, not having to worry every time I get a little pain in my chest. Come on. You don't have to worry. Why? How does the scripture say it, Luther? You know, he says, whom should I fear? What should I fear? I have the God of angel armies with me. I have the God who is the ruler of the universe with me. Why should I waste my life in fear and worry and stress and striving when I can be free? Amen? This is what God wants you to see. And I guarantee you it'll change the way you live. So stand with me.